السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. كيفك حبيبة؟
I'm gonna start crying. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. It's been an intense week. We were talking about this in the car, but Latif, Allah yirhamu, passed away, and it was a death that shocked the nation. So I just want to take a moment, because the more the merrier, and it's the only reason I posted is so more people say the Fatiha for him. So for anyone who's watching, if you can take the time to read the Fatiha for his soul, it's very much appreciated.
Alhamdulillah, he was a nice man, a good man.
He really was. And it's just been an interesting week, I think, because it just showed me how weak we are. You know, as it's so interesting because as humble as I think I am, or as committed to Allah as I think I am, it shook me to my core where I was like, who are you lying to? You're really not even doing anywhere near what you should be doing towards your relationship with Allah, you know? And I think that's what shocked me to my core the most. That I was like, how can I just sometimes not... And we all experience this, which I understand. Sometimes you're like, oh, I need to pray, and you don't have it in you. And then something like this happens, and you're like, that could have... God can take you away at any time. The second he decides to take you home, you're back, inshallah, with him. And that's it. That's all you've ever prayed. Those are the 30 years I spent on earth, and that's all I've ever prayed.
ليس لك من الأمر من شيء. Which means like none of the totality of the issue is under your control.
Yeah.
The thing, you know, every time I talk about death in front of people, there is this kind of panic. And as if there is this...
Because you say you want to die.
Yes, I
do. Or you're looking for, which I understand, because when you become that kind of Muslim, it's you're looking forward to the reunion, inshallah, with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. I get it.
I long deeply for death. It's maybe the thing I long to more than anything else.
Baba, I'm already very heartbroken over Latif. Don't do this to me.
Yeah, Habiba, this is where we need to correct our relationship with death.
I know.
This is, you see, if you noticed, part of the detachment we as humans have now is that we are detached from all realities.
Yeah.
And we are detached from all that is natural. I was talking to you about this in the
car,
way.
Yeah.
If you are detached from nature, you are detached from what we call prisons.
Yeah.
And if you are detached from prisons, you are detached from spirituality, yeah, and you're detached from yourself. Now, there is nothing wrong with death. And we're acting as if it is the monster that we scared kids with. And yeah, it's supposed to happen to everybody, but not to us. It's always in the shelf there. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's not process it. God forbids. It's not going to happen to us. It is going to happen to us. And the whole idea is to be ready for it and actually longing for it. And for God's sake, this does not mean that you are suicidal.
Yeah, I understand that.
It does
definitely
not mean that you are depressed. It does. Because in most cases, you know, the lucky ones, the really lucky ones, will be given signals that they're going to pass. And I know, and I've seen many people who knew exactly, and they talked about it. They said they're going to go. Some of them even said goodbye and prepared things because it was clear. You are only given this status of acknowledgement if you had already been in a state of tasaluh, like what is the right word to use here? Acceptance with
reconciliation
with death itself.
Yeah.
And I would advise you as young people more than anybody else to start.
Yeah.
And because there is no price tag. And there is no age expiration.
I understand.
And it's not our choice.
Yeah. I think... Oh, my ring is stuck in my earring. Okay, sorry. I understand. I think, come on, also, you know how... I don't know I talked about this on the podcast before, but I've told you, obviously, because I'm 30 now, And I think about you and mom a lot. And I'm always like, whenever I get this little moment, especially when you tell me I'm sick, I'm struggling to breathe, or I've been tired the past few days, I just get this moment and I talk to God and I'm like, you know, please leave him for me as long as you can. But the day that you decide to take him, I keep like reinforcing it and talking to God, and I'm like, I promise I will only say alhamdulillah. I promise I will only say alhamdulillah. So I'm, you know, I try to be really realistic with myself in having these conversations without being too dramatic or avoiding it. It's just the truth of the matter is, inshallah, the parents go away before the children, because Allah la yaktuba ala any parent to see the death of a child, you know. But after what happened, I'm like, whoa, I'm a lot more sensitive than I thought I was.
Subhanallah, I have...
Do you understand what I mean? I do. Just, it's a very, it's an awakening where it's like, you know, accept things with more grace. Say alhamdulillah first. I've just, it's been a rough week, man. It's been
If you're not exposed to me enough, and you see the way I react when I receive the death news of someone, you would think that I have no feeling whatsoever. Like it's...
Not at all. Bilaks, I think it's... not at all. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you there. Because if anything, I've admired how you handle it. Because that to me was yaqeen. That to me was the story that we shared of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam before, that innama as-sabru 'inda as-sadmatil ula, and it humbles me and it makes me realize that no, that's the level of faith that you need to aspire to. So I don't take it as a lack of empathy, or you have no compassion, or your heart's made of stone, God forbid. I take it as he's so connected to his God that he understands the purpose of death. And it makes me want to aspire to that. And anyone who sees it as otherwise is that, they, like you said, they fear death. They haven't reconciled their relationship with it. And are far removed from Allah.
Subhanallah. I remember when I was in university, maybe my third year. No. My father got extremely sick. And he was rushed to intensive care. And I had a very gentle soul of a father, and a very, very generous man who dealt with me in a godly manner, really. I have nothing to say about him but good things.
Alhamdulillah.
And I remember how I left him in the intensive care because I couldn't do anything more. And I went back home, and I prayed and I kneeled and I in my sujood and I cried my eyes out. It was a selfish cry, because I was only saying to God, if you want to take him, don't take him now, because I did not understand how would I ask anybody else for help
other than your father,
than my father, including my mother.
I understand.
My mother was the one who would spoil me every now and then. But
what do you mean? Everyone agrees you were your mother's favorite.
Yeah, but I had a different stand from it.
Anyway, continue your story.
Subhanallah. So I was like, and I begged for it. And the amazing thing is how he stayed till he saw me actually very prosperous.
Alhamdulillah.
Losing him was kind of always expected because of the complications he had. Losing my mother was not, because I was preparing myself mentally and emotionally to live with her for another 20 years maybe, or maybe more. She was 51 when she passed away.
SubhanAllah.
And that is the only death I recall that broke me.
Didn't she pass away? In Islam, after a husband passes away, the mourning period for wife is 4 months and 10 days, something along those lines.
Yes.
And she passed away right at the completion of that.
And she passed away right at the completion of that.
SubhanAllah.
And the day officially, and I mean Sharia, and officially she can actually get married.
She passed away.
She passed away.
So you lost your parents a couple months apart.
Exactly 4 months and 10 days. Exactly. And I helped prepping her up in the beginning, like, and I am the one who covered her. I am the one who put her in her grave. I'm the one who perfumed her. And I could recount 2 or 3 white hairs in that lush, amazing, dark, glistening hair. And the beautiful long face, royal by all means, sure. Green eyes and dark hair, and a beautiful white skin. Subhanallah, she was, yeah, but the thing is, even the night she passed away, my niece saw my father in her,
Mona?
Yeah, in her dream. He came to the house, and he was just walking on green grass. He came to the top of the house, and he was almost doing the, you know, when people walk with joy. They
almost like a skip in his step.
Yeah.
I get what you mean.
And she told him, you came back, and he said, yes. And he said, tomorrow you know why. You know tomorrow why. And before noon, we call it duha, yeah. Salat al-duha. She was prepping to do the Salat al-duha when she passed away.
Subhanallah.
And that was, you know, after that, I don't recall that I have ever been like shocked by the news of death of anyone. The other death that actually moved me a lot, and but in a different way, in a completely different way, is the passing of my sheikh.
Yeah,
because he was in his late 90s, and I would go see him sometimes every month, and every time I went there, when I'm passing, I would do a small dua asking to see him one more time. Except the last time I saw him, I forgot to do the dua.
Really?
Absolutely.
But you and Zimo traveled when he was in the hospital to see him.
Yeah, that's already too late.
Oh, okay. Fahmt alaik.
He was dying.
Fahmt alaik. Yeah,
I'm talking about seeing him in prisons, like
yes,
the way
yes,
I'm sitting with you now. And the last time I saw, I forgot. I was made to forget because it's the time he would go.
Subhanallah.
And I was not told that he passed away, Ali, Ridwanullah Ali, because he passed almost 3 weeks after. I was told he went to the hospital. And I remember when I was told that, because he went to the hospital many times before.
Yes.
And every time it was like, okay, he's going to get out of it. That time it was different.
Mm.
I was in a bedroom. I sat at the edge of the bed. And I cried for almost an hour, continuously. And I knew it, yaqeenan. And alhamdulillah, I went to see him, but I couldn't physically see him.
I understand.
So death is the only valid reality that we have. Death is the only constant that we all share. Death is the manifestation of all that is true in our lives. It's the thing that we will never disagree on.
Mm.
You know, I do this joke sometimes. People will ask me, how do you think I feel? I say, look at them and say, oh, I think you will die. And then I smile and I say, but I don't know when. Because, you will die. I will die, but we don't know when. Alhamdulillah. Allah yarham mawtana. May Allah shower with mercy all of those whom we lost and whom you lost. I'm talking to the audience.
I understand. understand.
Alhamdulillah.
Whew. Thank you for sharing that, Baba. I love you.
Love you too, Habiba.
So, I've spoken about this before, but Sheikh Hamza Yusuf spoke about how the only way to genuine happiness in this dunya is through helping others. And no one helped others more than the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And it's one of the reasons I do the charity with Fadi and all of these things, and I give in my own way. I'm always iffy about talking about it online, because as much as I love watching those videos about people giving back, I don't like the response sometimes of do charity in private, why are you like telling people? But when it's interesting that social media can be used for like all the wrong tools, but then when we want to do something good, it's why are you doing the good in public, do it in private. I understand both sides, but it's also, it's a good reminder for people. Don't forget to give back, don't forget to do this. Even a smile is a form of zakah. But so mom gave me some money for the charity today, because today's on behalf of Latif Soul, astaghfirullah, it's Sadaqa Jariya. So I told Fadi, like, my mom's going to be giving this much, I'm going to be giving this much. So I'm at the elevator waiting for, in my building, like, coming to pick you up. And there's this man, a short African man, and he had a trolley with all these delivery packages scattered, and he was looking for a package. He seemed to be a little stressed that he'd misplaced it or lost it. And something in me was like, just give him some money. And I pulled out a 500 dirham bill, because I didn't have any change, but regardless, I wanted to give him a 500 dirham bill. And I was like, hi, sir, this is for you. And he saw it, and he just looked at me with this shock but smile on his face. And I was like, have a beautiful day. And he was like, you don't know what you just did. And I told him, I'm like, alhamdulillah, Allah always sends help. And he was like, can I be your friend? And I was like, of course you can be my friend. And he was like, take my number. And he's like, I'm Ivan. I was like, I'm Layla. It's nice to meet you. He's like, you don't know what you just did. I was like, alhamdulillah, God always sends help. He's like, you paid my children's school fee. And that just kind of breaks my heart, that in my mind, I'm like, I'll just go withdraw another 1,000. You know what I mean? And mind you, it's not that I don't appreciate money. You're still talking to someone that couldn't afford Indomie 5 years ago. I've said this so many times. Like, it's not when you and I have ease in withdrawing 1,000, it's not that we don't appreciate the 1,000. It's we really acknowledge how God gives and God takes, you know? And it changed, 500 dirhams changed his life. And it just rings so true that nothing will ever feel as good as helping someone else. Nothing. And if I leave this dunya today having just done that, I'm like, alhamdulillah. If I get nothing else today, I'm like, I'm good.
It is one of the highest levels of human ascending.
Ascension, ascending. Yeah, I understand growth, what you're saying.
And
enlightenment, elevation. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, and that's why we have a hadith on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, لا يدخل الجنة بخيل.
Yeah, we've spoken about this before.
And the bukhl is, although it's been praised as being meaningful and looking after yourself and care about yourself fairest and all of those.
Yeah, they've tried to prettify it, make it pretty.
Yeah.
It's just not.
But it's if when we lose the ability to share that the abundance that we've been blessed with, especially min alamat akhir zaman, one of the signs of the end of the time is those who have tremendous amount of wealth are the greediest.
SubhanAllah. Zima was saying this last episode that we're in the greediest of times. So yeah.
So we were told about all of these things in the traditions.
Yeah.
And you see, giving does only one thing. I watched actually a podcast where one of those professors was speaking that there was a study done.
I told you this.
You did?
And we talked about it before. I think it was a Harvard study, and this professor said that based on the study, for every dollar you give, you get a 1.6 back or something.
Yes.
But you basically always get it back for
Sadaq
every
Allah.
Yeah.
صدق الله. I do recall I saw it I think after that.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like so many of those teachings that we've been giving long ago, and we take them for granted. Yeah. Now we need somebody with a Harvard degree or what they call that reward they give, the
Nobel Prize
in medicine, to tell us that fasting is good for us.
Oh, that dude who won autophagy, is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, so Islam. So Muslims.
You see, let's be fair here. So spirituality, because all spiritual religions and spiritual lines had fasting.
That's true. Yes, you're right. But I think, do they have, I know, I don't want to say anything wrong, but I know my friends in Jordan, the Christians, when they had their fasting of 40 days, they would be almost vegetarian. But is there any other religion that has the no eating at all like we do?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
I mean, like, it's still a form of restraining and self this and that, but most of all, mainly very spiritual, they have strict fasting.
Yeah.
And in Christianity also, there are many different
sects that have it. I understand.
Some are more than others.
I understand.
But the base of it, the concept of fasting, you will not find any spiritual path without fasting.
Maybe.
Now, our form of fasting, I kind of like the most. But maybe it's my prejudice to...
I understand that. I water fasted for 10 days once. I'm preparing myself for another one.
Well, I did 5 days a few days ago.
Mashallah.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm currently prepping myself for another one after I'm back from France, and then before Ramadan, I want to do a 10-day water fast. And also, inshallah, biznillah, one of my influencers, myself and another person, we're going to go do Umrah before Ramadan.
Allah.
And I just want to tell you as well, because I think it's beautiful, and Adham, my trainer, he just went to Umrah and he took his mom. He'll be back inshallah tomorrow, and he did Umrah on behalf of Latif as well, which I thought was very nice.
Alhamdulillah, yani, subhanallah, when God is pleased with someone, he sends him people to remember him after he passes.
Yeah.
And to do things for him. Subhanallah, the story of this boy touched me. I saw him only once.
I know.
And the way he became a convert, the way he through his amazing sister, I actually do recall me asking him to ask his sister to pray for
you.
Me.
Yeah.
And I hope she did, rahmatullah alayh. Allah ya'inaha. May Allah give her the patience and
you know, he said something. I wasn't going to share it, but Adham was like, maybe he told you so that you could tell people. But he said something to me. You know, when we were leaving the restaurant and you just went to use the restroom and we were waiting by the aquarium, and he wanted to wait for you to come back before we walked to Valley. He was very kind like that. Even when he met mom and mom went to the locker just to get our stuff, he's like, no, I will wait for your mother. I will give my salams to her and then I will leave. There was just something about the way he moved. Allah yirhamo. And when you went to use the restroom and we were standing there, he looked at me and he, out of nowhere, he was just like, I know my religion. He's like, I know my belief and I know my aqidah. And I hadn't heard the word aqidah in a while since that dinner with you. And he was like, and no one and nothing can change my mind. I see all these people and they try to talk a big game and they get lost in the noise. He's like, but I know my deen. And he just looked at me and I was like, yeah, you do. And the way he said it was almost like this. I've never heard anyone speak that way. Truly, you are the only person I've ever heard speak that way. I'm not going to lie. Like, with just this conviction and this, it's subhanAllah. And then his teacher also is a man that I know that I met 2 years ago. So it's just, it's very subhanAllah how everything just tied in. But I think it was almost like this, like he knew what the kind of Muslim he was, which I find very beautiful.
I think it's the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. If it's not a hadith where he says, "Mutu qabla an tamutu."
Yeah, die before you die. I understand that. Which is an ego death before you actually physically die.
And this process of ego death, it just gives this sense of clarity.
Subhanallah. But yeah, so the helping others, I think it's the most beautiful thing in the world, truly. And I think the more you give, the more you get back. And yeah, so I helped Ivan today. Or Allah helped Ivan through me.
Alhamdulillah, but it's a cycle. It's a cycle. If you know what a small thing that may bring a sense of joy, happiness, or relief to another human being,
do it without hesitation.
And I like the fact that his name is Ivan.
His name is Ivan Jamal.
Ivan Jamal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so.
And he messaged me. Can I show you? Oh, he's so sweet. He was like, hello, Layla, it's me, Ivan. I was like, have a beautiful day, Ivan. He's like, likewise, dear, you do not know what you did to my life. I am happy. And I told him, God always sends help.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
If you have the opportunity to help someone, do it without hesitation. Do it without hesitation, be it a favor, be it money, be it an opportunity, be it opening a door, be it a shoulder to cry on. If Allah has put you in a position where someone has come to ask you for help, beware of not helping. I cannot imagine the kind of karma you would receive or the punishment that God put you in a position where someone came and asked you for help and you had a moment in that time. It's either I help, and it's not you helping. You understand that your ability to help has come through your creator, or you refuse to help because you think by helping, it is taking away from you, and that it is not God who refills your cup. Ya waylak min Allah.
It's a matter of perspective. When people come to ask you for help, some will say that, oh, they think I have something, so they have greed towards it, and they want to take it from me. And no, I need to say no because they don't deserve it. Maybe they want to just use me. Maybe yeah. And the long list of maybe and buts come up. But the reality is you've been chosen.
Chosen, yes.
You've been chosen. Mm. And that by itself
is a gift.
Is a gift.
Ameen.
And imagine that someone spends a day or two or three contemplating, looking around in his mind, whom he can pick to ask for help genuinely, and it's only you that he picks.
Yeah.
I had an experience not long ago. I don't know if I should mention it.
Think about it.
Yeah. It's a small thing on this. Like, you know, when someone calls you, you have technically no relationship with. It's just, and you want nothing out of them. And they just, like, that is the situation. And then at the moment, and you actually, you what they ask you for is almost all what you have at the moment.
Okay.
And immediately your ego wants to say, like, and no.
Opa.
No, I went and I just let it be. And the person told me, I did ask 2-3 people, and they all requested this and that from me.
In return?
Yeah.
For the help?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like,
sorry, I put my hair up.
Just return it whenever you can. If you can. Because I never give anything, and even if it's a loan,
except and expect it back.
And I give it with the permission.
Not to give it back. Yeah.
I give it with the internal permission and samah that it may not come back.
I understand that. Subhanallah, I do the same.
Yeah, but I don't tell the people. Sometimes, well, I had very small incident with work. One of the guy left work in a very abrupt and improper way.
Tamam.
And he caused us financial damage, like it's a good amount.
Tamam.
And I said, no, that does not go this way. And he has documents signed by him that says that this is his responsibility. So we called him more than once to come and settle. And he's like, no, I don't care. I said, okay, take him to court. Mm. And we did. And we won it.
Yeah.
And then when we won it, I called him personally. And I said, this was not about money. This is about you acting so childishly stupid.
Come on.
Now I'm not going to say I'm going to forgive you with the whole. Pay few installments and I will let go of the rest. This is just to pull your ear.
Yeah.
But it was really never about money.
I understand.
Like, you know, money and wealth is a very amazing tool. It can refine your soul and it can drag you down.
I agree. SubhanAllah, it's, I don't know, I think, I agree. Now more than ever, I just wanna, because we talked about this last time, but I'm launching my glasses brand and I'm saying it here now because this was something that we discussed very, very early on. Inshallah, every quarter, so Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, I will be donating a portion of the profit to help people in need. That has always been my niyyah. It was the thing I said before we even started the project because I was like, I don't need more money for the sake of having more money. But I really do wanna be the best Muslim I can be. And I know my limitations with my deen. Here's the thing. It's a very interesting thing. I have never claimed to be a perfect Muslim. And frankly speaking, I don't want to be the perfect Muslim. But I know my limitations with my deen. And I know where my strengths are with my deen. And there's nothing more that I want and know how to do better than to help others. It's the thing I crave the most.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, so I'm saying, I know I'm not a perfect Muslim and I don't want to be. I really don't. Aslan, you, especially in the eyes of the haram police online, you can never be. There's nothing, you could be the best Muslim you possibly can be and someone's going to find something to say. But I love giving back and I think it's the thing that Allah right now has given me the tools to do, be it with the podcast or financially. So alhamdulillah, that's my main focus right now.
Let me tell you something. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu does not benefit from your prayers or your...
It's for you. I know.
The parameter of being a good human and a good Muslim is very simple. How much good you do to the people around you and how much good you do in general. Yeah. How many lives around you are changed and touched and it's always an outside mirror, not an...
I understand, but also at the same time, I have this, the famous story of that the Prophet alayhi salatu salam cried over us when we weren't even around yet, and he cried over us, you know? So it regardless of hal al-alam al-yawm and how I really think it's the end of times, there is still a lot of good in us, and there's still a lot of good Muslims out there. And I just think we have a lot of work left to do. Does that make sense?
Very much. Years ago, there was an ad.
This has been a tough week. Yeah, tell me.
I was in Jordan and I saw this ad. Someone is asking for help because the child of his brother who passed away is in critical case in the hospital. And I asked my brother to go and investigate it. And he went and he was taken to the... So I told my brother to give them a certain amount, and then the family had no father to look after them. The uncle was not in a good position to support the family.
No.
So I asked my brother to send a monthly money to
allowance
him.
Yeah.
Now, oof. It was almost a year and a half or two. Something in me. And I asked my brother to go and check on this family.
Tamam.
With little bit of research, he found the mother of the child. She had, I think, three children then. And each and every penny we send from the time of the hospital, we paid the hospital fees and so on, a little more. But after that, each and every penny was taken by the uncle and never reached the children.
Ya Allah. What, ya waylak min Allah. How does he sleep at night?
Well, ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين.
I know. Continue. So when you found out?
When we found out, we corrected. We made sure that the money goes to the...
Were there any repercussions for this uncle?
What could you do?
You know what? Allah will see it.
What could you do? But generally speaking, when you have the intention of helping, make sure you...
The help reaches the right way, the right people. I know. Yes. It's not just about... this is why I'm very specific about how I give and who I give to. Like this Ivan, alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity to give. I like to always give by hand to people. I like Fadi's charity because we see the meals that we're providing. You know, we literally, you know, pay and go. And it's all done command through the government here in Dubai. That's so helpful. So alhamdulillah, like... And he also has the Umrah for labor workers. So... with the glasses, that's definitely something I'm going to do, is send these labor workers to Umrah through Fadi's charity. I think that's such a blessing. So, alhamdulillah, yani, there's a lot of... there are so many ways to help. You just have to... I don't even want to say go the extra mile, because it's not even a mile, it's an extra inch, just to make sure and guarantee that it's going to the right places. So, alhamdulillah.
One of the heaviest experiences I had with giving is... when I went into the financial stress in around 2009, 2010, there was a short list of people that depended on me.
No.
And I recall them calling me and saying, please, please. And I'm like, well, you genuinely think that I have it?
And I'm not giving, yeah.
And you think you, by bleeding to me and asking more, that you will soften my heart because now it's just closed and then I will
give
you...
Out of nowhere,
you.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought of that as the heaviest insult.
I understand.
But I had to tolerate because they were in need. And like, are you sure that you think that I am...
But this is... It's an unfortunate reality, and it's not to paint them with a horrible brush. But I've faced this, people that I've helped spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, especially the ones I've helped financially, are the ones who have turned around, spat in my face, and if anything, claimed that they were the ones who gave me grace and always gave me the benefit of the doubt. And there is never any recollection of any help that I've given. And alhamdulillah, I will never say I regret giving them. I will never say I've regretted helping them. I will always say I did it for Allah, and that's all that matters to me.
You will always see those people.
Always.
You will always meet them. And that should not stop us or anybody from
helping or giving, because first and foremost, when you help and give, it's not I'm helping you, it's Allah is using you as a vessel right now to help, and you're doing it for
Allah. Alhamdulillah. You know, a fruitful tree is visited by the farmer, by birds, by even worms and insects.
Yeah.
And subhanallah, in areas like India or the East, you will have monkeys that come and eat from the fruit. But when they are full, what they do? They take a bite and throw it.
Yeah.
So, and a fruitful tree will not choose to whom to give.
It's like Hafez's poem. Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. Because it's true. If you look at the way God has created nature, everything has a purpose and everything moves with a mission, a beginning and an end. Some have bigger roles than others, but no one ever looks to the other and says, oh, I'm the soil. You couldn't have your roots so deeply inside me and grow as tall and as big and as strong if I weren't here. The rain doesn't go like, oh, well, I rained. Without me, you would have dried and died. Like, there's none of that. Everything moves with a purpose, has its time, and it just happens the way it's meant to happen. The only creature that doesn't do it this way is humans.
The disconnection of humanity.
The only human who makes you, who gives you a beating over, I exist, please worship the floor I walk on, the only creature that does that is our people. That is the only animal that does that. Everything else that has been created by Allah lives in service of Allah, except for people.
Alhamdulillah. Overcome your greed and your tightness, and you will be surprised with the generosity that comes. Because...
But understand that... But this is something I... Sorry, you were talking. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Tell me.
No, go ahead.
I'm listening.
No, go ahead. You said overcome your greed.
Overcome your greed. Dania just messaged. And your tightness. The fist tightness. And then you will be surprised how generosity comes into waves you never expect. From places you never expect.
I mean... But also, I've spoken about this so many times. I don't know, maybe I'm just not finding the right words, or maybe it's something I have to repeat all the time. The fear of losing money, and 100% I'm saying this to myself as well. It's whenever you're afraid that you're going to lose something or something's going to slip from your grasp, it's because you think that you are the creator of it or someone was the creator of it by giving it to you. And the fear comes from a lack of acknowledgement. And I'm talking about a genuine acknowledgement that it comes from God. You know, so money comes and goes because it comes from Allah. His giving is a gift and his taking from you is also a blessing.
It's also a blessing.
It really is. So when you have this fear and this attachment, especially to things from this dunya, it's because you don't trust that Allah has given with a purpose and taken with a purpose. And I say this mostly as a reminder to myself, 100%.
Alhamdulillah, we need always to... The best reminder is the reminder that comes from within.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
You know, and it you know, it's very difficult to install those attributes in people at a later age.
Yeah.
It's when they have been persuaded and actually lured into them at an early age when it comes much easier and comes like a second nature.
I agree.
Alhamdulillah, I remember your sister, Shireen. She would go to... she would always look for old women to give them.
Shireen was crazy in the best way. My sister Shireen did an act of kindness once that changed me to my core. It was back when we barely had any money. Like, you were lucky if we got 40 dirhams combined between her and I just to get in a cab in Jordan, go somewhere, maybe share a cup of coffee, go home. And we were all cramped up in a public taxi in Jordan, Shireen, myself, and a few of our friends. And we were at a signal, and it was red. She sees from across the road on the other way an old man carrying a big plastic trash bag with all these cans and bottles. I think they collected them for recycling. And she just saw nothing but him, opens the car door, gets out of the car, crosses a main, very busy, very crazy road to run to the other direction to give him all the money we had, and then gets back in the car. Doesn't even flinch. She doesn't even know how we're about to pay for this taxi. She doesn't even know how we're going to get home. She didn't care. The smile on her face and this deep sense of gratitude that she was able to do that. And trust and believe, she didn't do it for acknowledgement. And she didn't do it so people could be like, oh my God, that was so amazing. It was just how she was built. Subhanallah. And it changed me to my core where I was like, especially when you don't have, give.
Especially
when you don't have, that's when you give.
وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. It means that you give the food you have when you are the most craving for it, from hunger.
Yeah.
Subhanallah, I see a lot of those small videos of young men and women who became Muslims after reading through. And their astonishment and amazement of like what they were told and what they have seen and experienced.
What they were told about Islam, you
mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The core of the Muslim faith is sharing, is giving.
I mean,
it's subhanAllah, it's a pillar. It's one of the five pillars of Islam, is to share.
Zakah.
And by the way, when they tell you that the zakah is that percentage, oh, by the way, that's the minimum.
That's the minimum. Yeah, of course.
That's the minimum.
Yeah. Of course. I want to share a story that someone that I had met through the Giving Family, which is the charity, when we were at Anissa's baby shower, we were sitting, him, Elle, and myself, and he shared the story. We were just talking about Islam because Elle reverted to Islam 3-4 weeks ago, bless her soul. And he was just sharing this. I was explaining that I will never understand what it is to be a British woman who grew up with a pub culture and so far removed from Islam. And she even said, if you met me 3 years ago, you would have never thought I would be a Muslim. And I will never know that feeling of God put something in your soul and you just flipped 180 and Islam infiltrated every cell in your body. You know what? I will never understand it because I was born a Muslim. So, and it's a beautiful thing, like to witness and to see. And he was saying how he knows a man who he knows a Greek man who reverted to Islam at the age of 16. And he explained how, if you know anything about Greece, there are no mosques in Greece. It is a fully Christian country. Yes, yes. And not only that, they unfortunately also have a stigma of Islam because they think of the
Atraq. The history.
Yeah, the history. It's okay. Culture sometimes, it's just the way the cookie crumbles. And he had a high school project about religions across the world. And it wasn't even a project about Islam specifically, but it was about all religions. And he had to write about yay big of a paragraph about every religion. But there was something about Islam in just that little paragraph that he couldn't remove from his mind. And he delved deeper and deeper and deeper, and he became a Muslim.
SubhanAllah,
when just the calling calls for you, you know? And it's a Greek, nothing to do with Islam. No one around him is a Muslim. A high school project and just a few lines. When Allah wants to pull you home, He pulls you home.
Al-haqqu ghallab.
Ameen. Yeah. I actually just bought a hoodie for myself and Zimo by this artist that I literally went looking for because I see him once a year at MOTB in Dubai. And sweet little boy. He's called Bai Fanan or Fanan. It's BYFANAN on Instagram. And I literally, when I saw the hoodie, maktub on the back, haq. And I was like, this is a Sufi's favorite word. So I bought two of them. I bought one for Zimo and one for me.
SubhanAllah, haq.
SubhanAllah. Say the saying again, sorry.
Al haqqu ghallab.
Yeah.
Translate.
That means truth is that a triumphant will always
win. Will always win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Alhamdulillah.
How much time do we have left? We have about 10 minutes, Daddy. So, you know, you can go ahead and say what you want to say.
Today I have this inner peace and quietness that it's difficult to
explain. Prescribe. Wait, let's just send, because she's going to watch this, because Dania's messaging. We're filming an episode. Daddy. Okay, love you. I'll text you after. Yeah. Dania's so cute. I sent her a message and I was like, the DP is perfect, like her display picture. And I also changed mine. So she answers me thinking I'm talking about mine. And I'm like, I'm talking about yours, you silly goose. I love her. She's such a sweet girl. Such a sweet girl. Alhamdulillah. But yeah, I understand what you mean. Today was a very calm episode. I've been shattered. I cried tears this week. Even mom was like, I have not seen you cry like this in years. I don't cry like this anymore. Ever.
Subhanallah.
Ever. I don't bawl. I'll tear up. I'll get emotional over the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, over beautiful stories like about Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani or Imam Ali. Alayhi salam. But I don't cry like this. I haven't bawled to the point where I've gotten a nosebleed since maybe 2018.
You get a nosebleed?
I did.
Oh, I remember that when you were a child.
Yeah, I used to get them a lot as a kid. Yeah. But there's just something. Also, I have the giving family now, and Fadi asked for me to give a speech. So I will share something about the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That is what I plan on saying. I will try not to cry.
Well, I had a father who could never speak three sentences about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Well, I have a brother who can't say three sentences about the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam without crying.
And does not weep. Alhamdulillah.
Don't cry, Daddy. You'll make me cry.
No, I'm not. I'm not crying. Yeah, subhanallah. This is this. You know, you talked. You said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi
baqa shawqan li ru'yatina.
Naam. And it is actually that statement need to be a slight correction. It's not...
Go for it. But it's one of the things that I love whenever I hear shuykh that say sallu ala man baqa shawqan li ru'yatina. I love it. It makes me feel...
Naam.
Okay, but tell me.
Because most people think it's that we, as whom we are now in the state we are.
No. I see it as the potential of what all Muslims can be.
At the end of the time, there shall be people who long to him, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, like no other longed before. And those are the people that he had the shawq to.
I understand. But that's what I'm saying. It's. Let me say this correctly. It's the Muslim that you can be when you become that level of Muslim.
Yes.
I understand that.
Yes.
That's how I see it in my mind. It's not me as I am now. It's inshallah if I ever become that kind of Muslim.
You know, think of it when you have a child who is not obedient and when you have a child who is loving and always missing you and always longing to see you. You will love both, but in a different way.
But you long for... Yeah, I understand.
You might pray for the one who, when he comes, he will just break your heart. When he comes, he will just make you feel bad.
But you love him because it's your kid.
You still love him. You pray for him. And maybe you don't want to see him. But the one... the longing... always is a reciprocal thing.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. To me, when I hear them say that, it gives me hope that I will be, inshallah, one day that. It's the same way when you...
We pray for that, inshallah.
I know. It's the same way you, when you say... And I've said this very early on this podcast. When you would talk about the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, or al-Hasan al-Husayn, and you'd cry, that was the beginning of my awakening to Islam. The same way Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said... alayhi salam. I'll say both. I'm flexible. Said even if you are born a Muslim. No, he said don't inherit your religion. And then there's another quote that I'm not entirely sure where it comes from, and I think it is Imam Ali alayhi salam. Even if you are born a Muslim, you will have to find Islam again. I'm not sure, because even if you're born a Muslim, it means nothing. I know so many Muslims that are born Muslim, not practicing, or they do the bare minimum. They pray Jum'ah and they fast Ramadan. Islam, blessed enough to have born into it, even luckier that Allah opened my heart to it on my own, through you and through other things. But when I see how you would cry over that, that was an awakening for me. Like, I want to love them that much that I cry. And then when I see you say, like, you long to meet that Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it makes me go, like, I want to feel that. So do you understand what I mean? So you've led by example is what I'm trying to say.
I'll tell you, every religion, Islam is included, is of two things, the intellectual informational part and the spiritual part.
Of course.
You inherit the informational part. It's, yes. it's what you've been told and you see others say, and you gather info. What is Islam? Is this? What is Arkan? Is this? We were taught all of these things in school. But where is the connection? The connection is where the parents and those who love you should try to ignite in you.
Yeah.
And it can only be ignited through proper example and love.
Yeah.
All the indoctrination, all the books, all the reading, all the scholarship does not ignite
this. I agree.
It might ignite vanity.
I agree.
It might ignite a huge sense of importance.
Yeah.
It might ignite a long list of claims.
It might ignite a cult. I've seen some weird things in my time. I agree. Subhanallah. I think we should wrap it up because it was beautiful, Habiba. And I don't want to add more. I was going to say about, but I don't know if I should.
Tell
me. Do you remember how I told you the people who would tell other people, oh, no, your mom died, not a Muslim, so she's in hell?
No, that's really wrong.
Can we touch on it a little?
Can we?
Just because the topic of this, I'm going to title this video like Death and Charity in Islam, because I think it's a beautiful video and it's about time we had a conversation like this. We have before, but we haven't ever, the full conversation was like this. I don't want to share too much, but I recently met two beautiful, beautiful, beautiful women who are Muslim reverts. And unfortunately, the mother and the stepmother were not Muslim when they passed away, even though based on the description of how the mothers behaved, I don't know what could be more Muslim than the way they moved and the way they prayed and the way they helped others and the things that they instilled in their daughters, you know? And unfortunately, one girl after she reverted and one when she was still on her journey of learning about Islam and inshallah to soon become a revert, were both told, your mothers died not Muslim. They're not in heaven, they're in hell. And both of them obviously were very heartbroken. And one of them who was still on her journey to Islam was like, that almost threw me off of Islam completely. And I told her, having been born and raised a Muslim myself, that would have thrown me off of Islam. Because say whatever you want to say, whatever you've been taught, I don't care. The only person, not even person, the only one, astaghfirullah, who can declare who is in heaven or in hell, who is a kafir or not a kafir, is Allah Jalla Jalalu. And when you give yourself the authority and the right to declare such a thing, isn't that you have now equated yourself to Allah? Is that not kufr? Is that not shirk?
It's a very shameful thing to do, and it reflects nothing but ignorance and greed and ego and this idea of limiting the ability and generosity of God Allah. To your own little understanding.
I mean,
to your own little interpretation of whom God is and whom his will is and whom his capacity and ability alhamdulillah,
because you think Allah is such and such, you limit Allah to being the non-merciful Lord that you have now declared He is, which is just, that's so shameful. And I have to say, it comes from a place of ignorance. I would hope, and I want to give the benefit of the doubt, that it comes from a place of absolute ignorance.
Yeah, but ignorance, it's...
can be very cruel.
Very cruel. I would, like, if only people who are, just keep quiet and not utter their poison.
It's interesting that the dumbest people are the loudest and have the most to say. Because I can't imagine someone, and I'm glad that they shared it with me, because I told them the story that you told, I'll start crying, that you told Latif about his grandfather. And I told them that story, and I explained, and I don't want to get into too much detail because that was private, but I just explained to them how grand God's mercy can be. And they were, you could almost see them like sigh a sigh of relief, because I don't know about your God, but that's not my God.
There is this continuum when you're dealing with God, and you are limited with something called time and the concept of space and time. That limitation applies on you, does not apply on God.
That's what I told them, subhanAllah. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, it's almost everything happens for a reason. And subhanAllah, it's as if Latif met us so that we could talk about him here and we could always pray for him. And therefore, even more and more and more people are praying for him. And then he told us the story about his grandfather so that you could share with him what he needed to hear before he passed away and is reunited with his grandfather, inshallah. And that therefore, I could share it with these two girls who are then maybe, inshallah, going to share it with other people.
Alhamdulillah.
So that's if that isn't Allah, I don't know what is.
Alhamdulillah. How dare they? How do they find? It's just this ignorance combined with a lot of vanity and self-validation.
Yeah.
That enables you to throw
self-entitlement. Sorry.
Yes, to throw such judgment.
I cannot imagine. Let's say, astaghfirullah, God forbid, I even believe that internally, which I don't. I would never say it. Yani, believing it and then saying it are two different things. Like, even if you believed it, keep it to yourself.
I don't believe it and I will not say it.
I don't believe it and I will not say it. I agreed. Well, we Muslims have a lot of work.
I don't want to turn this into a scholar debate. It's there in our Quran.
I understand. Also, there was something that there's these two people online who are beautiful, beautiful men that I love. One of them, they call him Unk, and the other one is Sony or Sunny, and he both are, I believe one of them is a Muslim revert, the other one is born a Muslim, or both are Muslim reverts. I'm not quite sure. But they were sharing the story of, if we were so intolerant of Christians, why would the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, during the time of when his people were fleeing, he told them, go to modern day Ethiopia and that king will take care of you. And that was a Christian king who I believe later on reverted to Islam. I'm not entirely sure.
No.
But why would he have sent them to a Christian leader if he didn't think that he would honor them and Allah and take care of his people? Get it together. Learn your history. Muslims need to relearn their history is what I'll end this with.
Well, our history and our Islam has been politically hijacked.
Every religion has been politically hijacked.
Just like every other great movement.
Everything has been. But, you know, do your own due diligence. You owe it to yourself
and
to your
Ummah. Do your own due diligence for your own sake.
And for
your own safety. For your own peace.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for today, Dad. I really needed it.
Allah yahayiki.
All right, guys, I'm going to leave you one more time. Please, if you can help anyone, and if you can say another Fatiha for Latif soul, and Alhamdulillah, really needed this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.